student loan borrowers took another deep breath of relief earlier this month when President Biden said a pause on repaying those loans would be extended into September. This is the sixth time loan payments have been put on hold since the pandemic started more than 2 years ago. Here's the president.
I know folks were hit hard by this pandemic, and though we've come a long way in the last year, we're still recovering from the economic crisis it caused. This continued pause will help Americans breathe a little easier as we recover and rebuild from the pandemic.
More than 40 million people have student loan debt in this country. That adds up to $1.6 trillion. Alpha Taylor is one of those borrowers. He's also an attorney at the National Consumer Law Center, and he joins us now. Alpha, welcome.
Thanks, Peter. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. So you graduated from Case Western School of Law. I understand you did your undergraduate studies at Virginia Commonwealth University. Should I brace myself when I ask you how much student loan debt you have?
Yes, definitely. as a person of color, you know, I have over $200,000 in federal student loan debt. And my balance has actually increased by over $24,000 since I entered repayment. Now, you know, this balance would have been much higher but for, you know, the implementation of the payment pause.
We'll talk about that in just a moment, but I just want to kind of walk through your situation here. What were your monthly payments before the pause?
So before the pause, I was paying almost $300 per month on further student loan debt.
And so what does that feel like to have more than $200,000 of debt piled up on you, a payment of $300 a month?
It's a heavy burden, right? I mean, I'm not just a borrower, but I'm also, you know, a parent. And I have additional expenses that I had to take care of, including childcare costs, rent. You know, I wasn't able, you know, to have any time to save up enough money to purchase a home.
So are you saying that because there has been a pause on the student loan repayments, that you've been able to do things like buy a house?
Yes, I've been able to, you know, save up a down payment to actually purchase my first home. If the payment pause, you know, was not implemented, I wouldn't have been able to do that.
What else have you been able to do with the extra money?
I've also been able to, you know, save for my children's future. Also try to invest more in retirement plans and also try to put myself in a better economic position, you know, moving forward.
So this is where your professional expertise comes in, because you, as I said, are an attorney for the National Consumer Law Center. You work on these issues. And I know that a lot of people who have student loan debt are expecting that the pause button, now that it's been hit six times, will eventually become permanent. Do you think that Congress should just forgive all those people's loans?
Yes, I think we need broad-based student loan forgiveness. It is not just because of, you know, the problems that borrowers are facing, but it's also because the student loan system is fundamentally broken. And you also have to look at, you know, the borrowers that are being impacted by the student debt crisis. A disproportionate amount of federal student loan borrowers are Black borrowers. One in four Black Americans hold federal student loan debt, meaning that Black communities are losing money, losing the opportunity to generate wealth. The data show that borrowers like me, you know, Black borrowers tend to borrow more for higher education. We also tend to owe more over time after we enroll into college. Loan forgiveness, you know, is the path towards fixing this broken system and providing millions of Americans an opportunity to participate in the economy. Let's not forget that millions of millennials, millions of Black borrowers who are delaying major life decisions. There are people who are delaying purchasing a home. They are delaying getting married. They are delaying getting, you know, investing in retirement because they have this student debt burden.
But what would you say to people who say the burden is something that you accepted? You know, you're $200,000 in debt, but that's because you decided to go to law school, for example, and you could have made a different choice. That the burden is, in fact, your responsibility in some ways.
First of all, it's a forced choice, right? To look at someone like me who grew up in poverty, came from a low-income background, a child of immigrant, came to this country as a refugee from Liberia. I had no choice. When you're told that, you know, education is the path forward, if my parents could afford it, great. I would have loved if they would have been able to write me a check to get through college. It was either student loans or no way. And I went to law school not just to, you know, go up and work at, you know, at a law firm or, you know, make big bucks. That is the fundamental, you know, misunderstanding of the student debt crisis, is that the borrowers are just, you know, high-earning doctors or lawyers who went to Ivy League school, when really student loan borrowers are everyday people. You know, they are single mothers who have to get a degree because they couldn't get their promotion. They are Black women who have to pursue higher education because they thought that was the best way to fight systemic racism and also move forward economically. And these borrowers are also older borrowers. We also know that a large amount of older borrowers have student loan, and they are still paying student loan, even though they are, some of them are on Social Security. And now it is not even equitable, right? Because over time, even when borrowers are making payments, so it's not like borrowers are not even trying to pay. Borrowers are making payments, but when they're making payments, that balance keeps going up because the way the interest is set up. So it's like you're trying to climb out of a rabbit hole.
Yeah, well, I mentioned there are critics. One of them specifically is the Senate Minority Leader, Republican Mitch McConnell. Here he is on Fox News on Sunday.
Look, I think in this country, it's important to remind people that we ought to pay our debts. And with regard to extending the moratorium, quoting Larry Summers again, he said it's exactly the wrong thing to do in the middle of this overheated economy producing this rampant inflation.
Mitch McConnell referring there to the former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers. He and other economists are saying that because, in fact, the economic recovery out of this pandemic is strong, unemployment is very low, people are working, that it's not necessary to keep the pause on student loan payments. And by the way, the pause is costing the federal government $20 billion. What do you say?
I want to point out that, you know, the way to post-COVID economic recovery is not equitable. Yes, the numbers are getting better, but Black borrowers, borrowers of color, the numbers is moving at a much slower pace for them. They are going to have a hard time getting out of the pandemic economically. But I want to paraphrase Dr. King. You know, Dr. King said that, you know, a bootless man cannot lift himself up by the bootstraps. We can't expect millions of borrowers, particularly Black borrowers, to rise out of poverty when they are being disproportionately hammered by the student debt crisis. It is not equitable to ask Black borrowers to pay whose parents and grandparents were denied an economic opportunity to generate wealth due to racism and economic injustice. It is not equitable to ask them to start their American dream in debt to a nation that is forever indebted to their ancestors. So, I mean, forgiving student loan debt is a policy that is going to help America. It's going to help lift millions of Black Americans out of poverty.
I appreciate you sharing some of your own personal story previously in this conversation. And I wonder, just kind of looking back, if you knew how much debt you would end up with and how much of a burden it would be on your life, would you have still gotten the same kind of education? Would you have done anything differently?
My dream was to become a lawyer, to become a public interest lawyer, to become that legal aid lawyer that go back into my community where my people were being economically disenfranchised to provide legal services to poor people in this country, right? I believe that achieving becoming a lawyer was my way of fighting back against the injustice to kind of balance the equities. So for what I do as a public interest lawyer, I'm proud of the work that I do, and I know that millions of Americans, low-income Americans, benefit from the services that I provide as a public interest lawyer and the services that I provided as a legal aid attorney. I made my community better. So looking back, I will still move forward because it is not a choice. If you want to move forward and pursue higher education, and if you don't have the funds to do it, you have to take out loans. You may have scholarships and grants that may help, but more often than not, these scholarships and grants are not going to cover all of the expenses that comes with higher education.
Alpha Taylor is a lawyer with the National Consumer Law Center, also repaying his student loans. Alpha, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Peter.